Proverbs 27 that talks about diligence. And part of diligence has to do with goal setting. Goal setting is very, very important in our lives. I learned that so much the last 2 years, and especially this last year. I learned some things about goal setting that helped me overcome some things that I needed to overcome in my life. But Proverbs 27, verse 23 says this, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herb of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants." You know, part of what diligence is about is providing for the future. We deal a lot with the future. We deal a lot with making sure that we're able to pay our bills, that we're to do certain things. And I believe a big part of that is planning, P-L-A-N-N-I-N-G, planning and setting goals for our lives. I think that there's a whole lot of people who do not set goals. They just kind of live life, let it come at them as they will. They almost have a fatalistic mindset that whatever will be, will be. But, you know, that's not my mindset about life. My mindset about life is that you can make life better. God has invested so much in us, on the inside of us. He has designed us. But I notice that He doesn't live our life for us. He desires to live, help us live our life through Him, but He doesn't live our life for us. He does not make us obey. He does not make us do anything. But He gives us everything that we need to do to be successful in the thing that He's called us to do. And every one of us have a calling in our life. Every one of us has a job to do. Every one of us has potential. And we need to be willing to realize that potential. And one of the things that it's going to take in order for us to reach our potential is to be diligent in the things that we've been called to do. So I want to say some things with you today and to you today, and I want to share some things with you that I believe that will help you look at some things for this next year. I don't know about you, but I want to grow this next year. I want to be a better person next year or this year than I was last year. I want to grow more socially. I want to grow more intellectually. I want to grow more spiritually. I want to grow more as a church. I just want increase. God is about growth. He is not about us shrinking back. He is about us growing and going forward. So we have to do that. And one of the things that we need to realize is that you don't get in life what you want. You get in life what you are. You don't get in life what you want. You get in life what you are. So if you don't like what you have, you need to change who you are. And that's up to you to do that. I looked at myself in the mirror. And it wasn't just looking in the mirror. I began to have some physical problems in my body. And I went to see my pharmacist. And my pharmacist says, "Sit down here, I want to take your blood pressure." So he took my blood pressure, and it was 160 over 120. And he says, "You've got to do something. You've got to do something. If you don't, you're going to die." Well, you know, when your pharmacist tells you that and your doctor tells you you need to do certain things, you have some choices to make. So you had better be willing to make some plans and set some goals. And, you know, we generally change ourselves for one of two reasons. Number one is inspiration, or number two is desperation. And I was kind of in a desperate situation. I could go on like I was, and my life might end prematurely. You say, "I thought you was a person of faith." I am a person of faith. But you know what? When you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. See, a lot of times we think that we can sow the seeds that we want to in life and still reap a spiritual benefit. And that it doesn't work that way. God has shown us the way of life. He has shown us some things that we need to be willing to do in our lives to make the changes so that we can reach our full potential in Him. And I was not going to reach my full potential the way that I was going. I was over 86 pounds overweight. My blood pressure was extremely high. So I had some decisions to make. I was both inspired and desperate. The bad news inspired me. The desperation caused me to want to act. And you know, every year I had thought to myself, year after year after year, I want to lose weight this year. Because it wasn't bringing glory to God for me being that much overweight. And I'm thinking, I want to lose weight year after year after year after year. I'd gone on diets and I'd lost 20 or 30 pounds. I'd go off the diet and I'd put 40 on. And that's the way most diets work. You know, you make a temporary change in your life. And as long as you're doing that, you're doing okay. But when you go back to the way that you were, you go past where you were before. And it's not good for that to work that way. I mean, it's not good to live that way. It's hard on your body. You know, and I began to realize, you know, I looked at my job that I have to do. I have a church to pastor. I have a growing church to pastor. And it's challenging and sometimes it's stressful. And I have to be able to deal with stress. I have a family. I have grandkids that I want to see grow up. And I don't want to be old and weak. I don't want to be old and sick. I don't want to be old and unhealthy because of bad choices that I made in my life. So, I had to make some decisions about setting some goals in my life. And we'll talk about that in just a minute because, I kind of use that as an example because I have learned some things this year about goal setting. But I realized I wanted to be skinny, but I was what I was. If I continued to eat like I was eating, I was going to continue to be like I was. So I had to make some decisions. I had to make some diligent decisions to make some changes in my life. See, a goal without a plan is just a wish. A goal without a plan is just a wish. And I was wishing I could be smaller. I was wishing that our church could grow. But till I began to change some things, you block some things from happening in your life that really needs to take place. And, you know, you say, well, there's mountains out there. You know, there's obstacles out there. Yeah, but, you know, it's not the mountains that we have to conquer. We have to conquer ourselves. And let me tell you, your biggest problem is the person you look at in the mirror every morning when you get up. And it's not your spouse. Okay? It's not the person that you roll over and look at in the bed. You are your own biggest problem. You are. I'm my own biggest problem. And I have to deal with me all the time about my attitude, about the decisions that I make in life. But you know one thing that God has given us the ability to do? You know, if you don't like where you are, I love this Jim Rohn quote. If you don't like where you are, change it. You're not a tree. It's hard to change a tree unless you cut it down. But we're not a tree. We're people. And we can make changes in our lives. We can be different. If you don't like where you are in life, then change it. Change it. Go in a different direction. Make some choices. Make some quality choices about your health, about many things that we want to talk about today. You know, 90% of people set no goals and make no plans for their lives. Not anything that's real. We do New Year's resolutions only to just do it for a week or two and then let it drop along the wayside. But 90% of the people never follow through with the plans because they're not real plans. So my suggestion would be to walk away from the 90 and don't be like them. Be one of the 10% that makes the changes that you need to make in your life. You will be blessed because of the changes and the plans that you make in your life. You know, we talk to young people all the time about as they're going through school. You know, I remember about the 11th or 12th grade, I'm thinking, I'm tired of going to school. And I don't believe I want to go to college. You know, and you have to make some decisions about education. Does your educational decisions affect your quality of life? Absolutely. You ought to get as much education as you can. You need to find the area that you're supposed to go in, and you need to pay the price up front. You know, when you go to school, it's not time to party. It's time to study. It's time to pay the price. The day will come that you can play. But on the front end, you either pay on the front end and play on the back end, or you play on the front end and pay on the back end. See, I could continue to eat all I wanted to eat, all I wanted to eat, and I could just eat myself. But when do I pay? When I get older. It affects your heart. It affects your blood pressure. It affects everything about you, and it affects your health. And you know, I'd say, well, I don't understand why God let that happen to me. God had nothing to do with it. It was the decisions that I made in life that determined where I was going. So if you don't like where you are in life, if you don't like what's happening in your life, make the decision to change yourself. You can do it. You're not a tree. I love that. You're not a tree. I want to talk about some examples of areas that we need to look at that we can change ourselves. And I'm just going to throw some shotgun things out here for you to think about. And none of this is condemning in any way. It's not. I want it to be a challenge to you to be a better you. There is none like you. No one like you in life. There's only one of you. And I think that we ought to do our best to live our potential. I want to still be going when I'm 90 years old. I still want to have a sense of purpose when I'm 90 years old. My mom told me yesterday that you're not old until you're 15 years older than what she is. And that's old. That's 96. And you're not old till you're 96. I want to be 96 with a sense of purpose. I don't want to be 96 and in a bed somewhere, can't do anything because of stupid decisions I made in my life. I want to go as long as I can and do what I can for the kingdom of God. So I want to give you some examples of goals that you might set in your life. And the first area is business. Business. Let me give you some ideals to think about, some goals that you might set in your life. Number one, learn some new skills. One of the things that we do sometimes when we get out of school, we think, okay, I'm through now. I'm through learning. I got to go out and make a living now. And we get in that mindset and we cease to learn. We cease to stretch ourselves. Listen, you have a wonderful mind that God gave you. You have the capacity to learn. I don't care how old you are, you still have the capacity to learn. I don't care if you're going to die tomorrow. You ought to learn something today. So learn some new skills. There's some of you that have got some dreams in your heart. There's some things that you've wanted to do. And there's some skills that you wish you were had. Go out and learn some new skills. You know what that'll do? It'll begin to produce something positive in your life. I've noticed that when you accomplish something, it does something for your self-esteem that's really good. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So learn some new skills. Number two, find a mentor. In business, find a mentor. Don't think that you're the smartest one out there. You know, when you think you're the smartest one out there, that puts you at the bottom of the list because you're not. There's always somebody that's smarter than you are. There's always somebody that's better than you are at your craft. You ought to find a mentor. You ought to find somebody who knows more than you do and try to learn what they learn. Wow. Find a mentor. You say, well, I don't know anybody. Then find books that will help you. Find any way that you can. There's all kinds of information out there. The internet is a wonderful tool. You can waste a lot of time on the internet playing, or you can use the internet to teach yourself certain things. It's a two-edged sword. Let's make it work for the positive. You know, you can get on the internet and you can play on Facebook all the time, and I'm for Facebook and all of those kind of things. You can spend all your time playing games and doing, or you can find a mentor on the internet and learn some more about business and about your skills. Number three, mentor someone else. There are people, listen, you don't believe this. Some of you do, some of you don't. There are people out there that you know more than they do. And one thing that I have always found that when you're able to pour what you know into someone else, what it does to your own heart, it refreshes you. It keeps you fresh. It causes you to grow as a person to share what you know also. So not only find a mentor, nor be a mentor to someone else. Here's a big one. Improve time management skills. Let's learn how to work more proficiently. Let's learn to do what we can do in less time than we've done it before. Let's manage our time. One of the biggest things that we waste, more than money, is time. Can I get a witness? I mean, if we had a time waste meter on us, you might be surprised at the time that you waste. Let's improve our time management skills. You can get a whole lot more done. In fact, you can probably get more done with less effort if you manage your time better. So find some teaching on time management skills. Here's a novel idea. Take a course. Maybe you've been wanting to learn more about the computer. Enroll in a course. Enroll in a night course. Maybe you want to learn how to speak another language. Take a course. Maybe there's some other skill that you would like to learn about. Take a course. Enroll in college. You're never too old to learn. And everything that you invest in yourself will produce in your life. This is just some business ideas. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "He who deals with a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes one rich." You know, you can even learn some things. It may have nothing to do with your skills, but you may learn something else, and you'll be amazed how it helps you with your skills. There are certain principles of life that apply to a whole lot of different things. Let's talk about some financial goals. Number one, start a savings plan. Now, you young people, this is what Dave Ramsey teaches, and I think it's solid. Crown Financial teaches this too. Number one, give 10% of your income to charity, church, charity. Number two, pay yourself 10%. Take 10% of your income and invest it in your future. Then you live off of the rest of it. Have a savings plan. And I know it's hard when you're raising children to put money back. But if you will discipline yourself, I know just about tithing. I've been a tither most of my adult life. I don't even think about it anymore. I mean, just thinking about not tithing. It's just something that we do automatically. It's something that we do by faith. And we've learned to live on the 90%. And I struggled with saving when we were raising our children. And I didn't start a savings plan until I was in my 40s. Guess what? I'm behind. I'm behind in my savings. If you'll start when you're young, putting back into some kind of investment or some kind of savings plan when you're young, you will be amazed at how much money you'll have set aside by the time that you retire. If you'll begin that, you'll be wealthy. You can be wealthy. And by just saving 10% of your income and investing it. Say, well, that, is that spiritual? I think it is. I think it is. I think it has to do with diligence. Here's another thought. Maybe earn extra money to pay off your debts faster. Maybe you could take a little side job or something that you can do, or extra income comes in. Use that to pay off debts. We ought to be working on getting out of debt. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, some of you are debt-free. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. You know, there's so much freedom in that. You know, a lot of the rest of us is, I owe, it's off to work I go. And we don't have the freedom sometimes because we owe so much money. And I'm not against debt. Sometimes it's a necessary thing. But, you know, if we could just chip away at that, credit cards and things like that, maybe a little on your mortgage or an extra car payment, it's amazing how it eats into the interest. But you know what it takes to do that? It takes a plan. It takes diligence to do that. It don't work if you just do it every now and then. It works if you do it day after day after day after day after day. See, what I'm talking about is not exciting. What I'm talking about is simple, but it's not easy. There's a lot of things in life that are simple, but they're not easy. So have a financial plan. Maybe make a budget. Wow. It's amazing what a budget will do in your life. Learning to live on a budget. Start giving regularly. Make giving a lifestyle. You say, there you are, preacher after my money again. If you think that, don't give. But when you begin to understand that giving is a way of living, it'll set you free. It will really set you free. And it's God's way of blessing you. It's God's way of obedience. In fact, it's God's way of faith where we trust God to become our provider. Amen. So don't be afraid to be a regular giver. Not a spasmodic giver, a regular giver. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slothful will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent shall rule. Let's put that in perspective. The hand of the diligent will be promoted. The slothful will be the one who is in forced labor. See, there's a freedom in being diligent. There's a promotion that comes with being diligent in life. And there's a price to pay when we're lazy and slothful and have no plan for our life. Let's talk about physical. This is the one that hit me hard last year, and I shared with you that my blood pressure was just out of sight. I had to set some physical goals for my life. Let me give you some physical goals that you might set. Number one, reduce the amount of sugar in your diet. Does anybody like sugar? I love sugar. I love fudge and oh, the holidays have been such a trial. And, you know, it's been hard. I think maybe I've gained 2 pounds during the holidays. Reduce fatty foods. Learn to eat healthier. And you have to work at that. It's harder to eat healthier. You have to work at it harder. Does it pay benefits? Yes, it does. Here's another one. Get adequate sleep. Get adequate sleep. These are some good goals for your life. I struggle with this area sometimes. You know, there's times that I wake up at 2 in the morning and can't go back to sleep. It bugs me. But I always try to get in bed by 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and I try to get 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. But you know, there are times that people, you know, you're up playing on the computer or watching TV, and then you get 3 or 4 hours of sleep and you try to function on that. That's not good for your body. Your body needs rest. We need to develop healthier lifestyles of eating better, sleeping better. Is that spiritual? Yes, it's spiritual, and let me tell you why. because it's body management. Your body does not belong to you. If you're a believer, your body belongs to Jesus. You belong to the Lord, and you have a stewardship of your body. And that's been a hard, hard one to do. How about exercise? We love this, don't we? Exercise. Would you check the temp in here? Is it hot in here? It's steamy in here. Why don't you get us something flowing here? But exercise. Y'all want to stand up and do a little exercise? We could do a little aerobics, couldn't we? Find some kind of exercise to do. You know, one of the things that I talked to my doctor because I started exercising before I started eating right. And my doctor broke this news to me. He says, guess what? That don't work. You got to do both. You got to exercise and you got to eat better. I thought if I exercised, I could eat anything I wanted to and lose weight. It don't work that way. You got to exercise too. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me, says, tell me the secret to losing weight. Let me tell you, there is no secret. There are no fast ways. There are no shortcuts that last. It's the old-fashioned way. You got to eat less than you burn. You got to exercise. You got to eat right. You got to exercise. That's the only way I know. You can go get a gastric bypass, or you can do other ways, and I'm not condemning that because some people need to do that. But what I'm saying, when it all comes down to it, lifestyle change is the only thing that'll work. And I know a year ago, July, I began walking, and I walked about 2 miles a day. Last year, I walked between 300 and 400 miles. Now, how do you do that? You do it one step at a time. You do it one day at a time. You do it 2 miles at a time. And it's not what you do every now and then. It's what you do consistently. Davey's a runner. You know how many miles you run last year? He ran 800 miles last year. That's insane. You know, no. But how do you run 800 miles? One step at a time. One day at a time. And it takes, it's simple, but it's not easy. Any good thing in life is not easy. When we're always looking for the easy, guess what? It's not worth much. Most things in life, they're simple, but they're not easy. We know losing weight is not easy. Running is not easy. Walking is not easy. There are so many things in life that are not easy. But I walked from July to January and gained weight. And that's when my doctor told me, listen, it don't work that way. You got to eat right too. So in January, I began to eat right. And by that, I mean I counted calories. I wrote down what I ate. I got a little iPhone app that I enter everything that I eat into my iPhone app, and it keeps up with my calories, and I tracked it. And I've been doing that for almost a year now. And I've lost 64 pounds in a year. And it's simple. It's simple. But guess what? It's not easy, because you have to get up early in the morning. You have to walk, you have to write those calories down, and you have to do it not every now and then. You have to do it day after day after day after day. It has to be a plan, and it has to become a lifestyle. He saw me do it. He lives on the same road. He'd wave at me every morning. He tried to run over me a time or two. Woo! So set some physical goals like exercise. Decide to lose 20 pounds. I needed to lose. I still have 20 more pounds to go before I reach my goal, and I believe I'll reach it. Stop smoking. Some of you want to quit smoking. I don't condemn you for smoking. But if you want to stop, you're going to have a plan. Get a plan and work the plan so you can stop smoking. Smoking destroys your body. I could bring my dad in here today and he could tell you about that. He got COPD, struggles for his breath. It's sad to see how lung disease will humble you and take your life and take your vitality away from you. When it's hard to walk from your recliner to go to the bathroom and back and you're out of breath, that is discouraging. You can't expect to live a healthy life if you abuse your body. You just can't do it. And you can't blame God for it because it's your own decisions that you make. And I was destroying my health by being overweight. So stop smoking. Maybe you need to stop drinking. Maybe you need to learn how to meditate. That's a good thing. Meditation is healthy. And I'm talking about I'm not talking about home. I'm talking about meditating the Word. I'm talking about at the end of the day, stop and meditate about your day. What did I do good today? What did I accomplish today? What did I mean to accomplish? What did I not accomplish today? Think about those things. Make a plan for the way that you live your life. I'm convinced that we as Christians, we don't take a whole lot of time to just think. And we need to learn how to think. Wow. Let's talk about some mental plans that we could make. Learn to relax on a regular basis. We live in such a fast-paced society. You know, we live in Podunk, Arkansas. And it gets hectic sometimes, doesn't it? I mean, our lives get hectic sometimes. You know, if we lived in New York City, you know, you expect it to be that way. But we live in Arkansas. But our lives get hectic sometimes. Sometimes we just need to relax. Sometimes you have to schedule time to relax. And a lot of times what we do is we eliminate our necessities to relax and not our luxuries. Just a thought. Read some inspirational books. Do you know that 25% of people in America do not read at all? And the average American reads about 9 books a year. There is a ton of stuff out there that's good for you to know and to learn. And God gave you a brain so that you could know and learn. We need to become readers, not just for entertainment, but so also for education. I think you need to read for some relaxation too, and some mental entertainment. So read inspirational books. Refine your knowledge in particular areas of interest in your life. There are some of you that have hobbies. Learn more about that hobby. Invest time in mental exercise because that's something that we need to do. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." Sometimes we need to slow down a little bit, smell the roses, enjoy life. What about family goals? Number one, spend more time with your family. Spend more time with your family. Our children are grown. And sometimes I don't get a whole lot of time to miss it because we're with our family a whole lot and our grandkids. But I miss my little boys when they were 6, 5, and 4. Now I get to enjoy my grandkids now that they're 4 and 1 and 1 cooking. But there are times that I think back that I wish there were some things that I could do over again. Some things that I enjoyed, like coaching Little League and going on vacations and things like that in the precious moments that we don't have anymore. Now I enjoy my kids now, but you know, you think back and it just seems like that was a blur and all of a sudden they're gone. Those of you who have little children, enjoy your children. They are so important. In fact, the time that you spend with them is the things that they'll remember more than anything else in life. We just got through Christmas, and it's ungodly the amount of toys that kids get for Christmas. And they'll remember very little of it, but they will remember family time. They will remember those vacations. They will remember those times at the lake. They will remember those special days and those birthdays and you encouraging them. They'll remember that. Read to your children. If you got small children, read to your children. Instill in them the hunger for reading. It's so good. Invest in your marriage. Go out on a date. I read as the Youngs got away for a little getaway, farmed the kids out. I think that's wonderful. They got away. Something that'll be good for their marriage. Here's another one. Spend some one-on-one time with your kids. One-on-one. You know, if you got a whole bunch of kids, if you got more than two, I mean, it's hard to spend time one-on-one with your kids. But it's important that you do that. All right, fast, let's talk about some other things. How about some spiritual goals? Be more faithful in church attendance. Be more, you know, maybe that's a goal that you have, something you'd like to be more committed. Well, make the decision to be more committed in your church activity. Volunteer at church. I've heard people say, you know, I really need to get involved. Well, hey, get involved. Join a life group. You're going to have the opportunity in a week or two to join a life group. You don't know the people say, you know, I thought about joining a life group, but I just didn't. Well, guess what? Now you can. Join men's fraternity. It starts Wednesday. We start round two of men's fraternity. Get involved. It will do you good to be with other Christians. Fellowship is something that is so, so important. Read Christian books. Read the Bible. Oh, that's a novel idea. Do you know there are 260 chapters in the New Testament? You could, 5 days a week, you could read one chapter, and in the year, you'd read the New Testament. There's over 1,180-something chapters in the Bible. Five chapters a day, 5 days a week, 1 year, you'd read the entire Bible. That's a good goal. That's a good plan. It's simple, but is it easy? Not always. Not until it becomes a lifestyle. When it becomes a lifestyle, you'll think, oh, I got to do it. I want to do it. I remember last year I hurt my leg. I couldn't walk for 5 weeks. I mean, I could walk, but I couldn't exercise walk. And I will never forget when the doctor says, okay, now you can start walking again. I look forward to that so much. I used to hate to walk. I used to hate to read. I have made myself become a reader. I used to read. I studied to preach. Now I read for my own inspiration. I read for my own knowledge. And you know, and I'm amazed because I keep up with it. I read 68 books this last year. I just say, how do you do that? One page at a time. You do it day after day after day after day, and in a year's time, it adds up. You will be amazed at what you can do if you'll be diligent to plan it and to do it. You will be amazed at what you're able to accomplish with that. How about your lifestyle? Maybe you want to buy a new home. Travel more. Go somewhere you've always wanted to go. Get out of your shell a little bit and grow. Make some plans. Do some stuff. How about relationships? Spend more time with your friends. Develop some new friendships. Learn how to communicate more with people you love. Send cards. Make phone calls. Have those special touches. How many times have you thought, I need to pick up the phone and call and check on so-and-so, and you don't do it? Learn to be a better friend. Develop your relationships. Why? Because you become a better person when you begin to do those things. Let me finish with this Jim Rohn quote. He says, if you go to work on your goals will go to work on you. If you go to work on your plan will go to work on you. Whatever good things we build end up building us. And that's so true. The things that we plan are the things that shape our lives. What is not started today is never finished tomorrow. What is not started today is never finished tomorrow. Let's pray. I want my prayer team to come up. We're going to have prayer time for those of you who have need in your life. Father God, thank you that you have given us the ability and the power to choose. And we can choose to make plans in our lives. We can choose our futures by choosing the right things today in our lives. Lord God, give us the courage. I don't care how many times we have failed. I don't care how many times we have started and failed. Give us the courage today to make some plans and follow through those things. Lord God, I know that we'll be better people and we'll bring more glory to you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come, whatever your needs are today, spiritual, otherwise, come. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to God today. Maybe you need to find Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Maybe you need to make a decision about something today and you need somebody to pray with you about that. Come at this time.
Just reach out and claim it for you. not standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. So let us praise, let us praise Jesus now. For we are standing, for we are standing in His presence. Yes, we are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Father, we just thank You for Your presence here today. God, thank You that in Your presence is where our lives are changed, where things begin to happen. Father, thank You for the things that You've started in our hearts today. God, I just pray that You just help us live life with diligence. God, and just be consistent in our lives, in our relationship with You, in our relationship with our families. Father, I just pray that You just help us to search our hearts and our lives, God, where we need to set goals. God, and to become more like You, God, to become more healthy. Father, whatever it is in our lives, Father, I thank You, Lord, that You're speaking to us right now and showing us these things, Father. Lord, I just thank You so much, God, as we leave here today, God, we know that Your presence is going with us. God, that You are going with us. Father, I just thank You that You're just guiding us and leading us and protecting us. Father, help us to bring glory to You this week. God, we thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. You have a great day. You're dismissed.